Welcome to Second Floor Therapy, the podcast that talks about education, music education, and living your best life. Hello, I'm Eric Songer, middle school music educator, and this week's episode is on new ideas in music education. Well, before we start this week's episode, I want to just hark back to last week when I talked about being overwhelmed. And it was kind of ironic that I did a session on that because I was going through a period of being very overwhelmed. And there were just so many things going on last week. And quite honestly, there's so many things that continue to go on for me, both in my professional and personal life right now. And I just want to once again say that these times usually go in phases. And so if you're feeling that sense of overwhelmness, just know that there is usually a release that will come up. And if there's not, I want to just reinforce what I said at the end of last week's podcast about making sure that you are finding people that you can talk to, whether that's friends, family, or counselors and professional therapists and people that can give you some help. And I also wanted to add one more thing that I didn't mention. I was talking about how somebody had approached me about doing a large project last week, and I immediately said no. And I did want to just throw out there, too, that when you are feeling that sense of overwhelmness and you do get approached to do something or have a big decision to make of any sort, try to not make that decision in the moment and try to make sure that you give that some thought if you have the option of doing that. Because obviously when we're feeling overwhelmed, our clarity of mind, our ability to make a smart decision may not be the best at that moment. So I just wanted to throw that out there and to make sure that people are aware of that. When you're really busy, sometimes it's good to not make those huge decisions at that time. Okay. So with that said, I'm going to move on. And I also think it's somewhat ironic that after doing an episode on feeling overwhelmed, here I am talking about some new ideas for all of you music educators out there. And so as I do this week, do the presentation this week, just know that, again, I'm not saying everybody go out and find a bunch of great new creative ideas you have and throw a bunch of extra stuff on your plate. But maybe you're looking for that something that will make your job a little more exciting, that will be, more importantly than that, will be something that students can benefit from and will just make it a better place to be in your music program in general. So let's jump off this week. I have four things I want to present to you today. And I'll go into a little bit of detail about all four. The first couple are pretty in-depth. So let me start with number one. This year in our music program, we are adding a new after-school program. And actually when I say new, I don't completely mean brand new. It's kind of an adaptation on something that we've done before. So for many years, I've offered a class that is kind of changed and evolved throughout the years, but it's basically been a class that has taught kids how to create hip-hop and EDM dance music, and really, quite honestly, just modern-day pop music. And one thing I think is important to know as a music educator is that popular music today is a lot different than popular music was when we grew up, and especially for those people that are my age and grew up in the 80s and 90s. And even, I would even say this, popular music is a lot different than it was 10 years ago. So even for younger teachers who are maybe just starting teaching or who are, you know, late 20s, early 30s, it is quite different than it was even when you were in middle school and high school. And I think it's important as a music educator to know what's on your kids' minds your kids' playlists, sorry, and what they're streaming, what they're listening to. And more importantly than that, I think if you really want to involve students in your school in music, and if you're really a firm believer in providing music for all, I think one of those kinds of music needs to be current popular music. So we've been doing this after-school class for, about 12, 13 years now, I think, in as far as this pop music class. And it's gone pretty well. We've done some hip-hop. We've done some DJing. We've done some creating beats and making dance music. Sometimes we've done some live performing. Sometimes it's just been creating music using things like GarageBand or other digital audio workstations. Well, I was thinking a lot during this pandemic about how, number one, I have a lot on my plate. I'm feeling overwhelmed, again, kind of harking back to last week's episode. But also how I would like to bring people in who really are more in the know about this. Now, I consider myself fairly knowledgeable when it comes to current popular music. I am a chart geek. Every week I sit down and look at the new Billboard charts that come out every week and listen to all the debut songs so I know kind of what's out there. But even with that said, that's not usually what's streaming. When I go out and take my walks every day, I'm not usually listening to the current top 40 hits. When I'm in the car, I'm not listening to the current top 40 hits. I've been listening to 80s, 90s stuff a lot. I'm listening to sports talk. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm not listening to the latest hits very often. So I'm not extremely knowledgeable. So this year what I decided to do was reach out to one of our local music studios here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area called McPhail. Now, McPhail Music Studios, they offer all sorts of music education opportunities for kids, whether that's private lessons on pretty much any instrument, whether that's small ensemble work or songwriting and different elements of music, improv, music theory. They are offering courses, private lessons, small ensembles to people all across the Twin Cities. So I reached out to McPhail and said, hey, I would love to contract out this class. Do you have some people who could teach beat making, DJing, music production, songwriting in the current modern day music format, popular music format? And immediately made a great connection there. And so what we're doing here in a little over a week is we're starting a brand new class called Beat Making / Audio Production. And it will literally be a class where kids are coming in and learning how to create their own music, learning how to create music that currently exists. Like maybe they're going to try to do covers of music. They're going to learn the technology involved, whether that's different digital audio workstations, just certain hardware. They're going to learn how to DJ if that's what they want to do. They're going to learn how to perform this music live. They're going to learn elements of music production. And so it's going to be a class where it's kind of a survey class where they're learning the technology. They're learning the skills and concepts, how this music is created, just basic form things, theory things, technology, like I said. So they're going to have a once-a-week experience after school on Mondays for 2 months, and they're going to hopefully walk away with some incredible knowledge and some skills on how to start doing this. I'm so excited for this class. I have no idea where it's going to go from here. I guess I shouldn't say I have no idea. I'm hoping that maybe out of this we have some kids that want to form a DJ club, that we have some kids that want to come up and continue making music together at some point during our school day or after school day. I'm hoping there's kids that will take this and run with this and do some more on their own outside of the school day and then just have some more knowledge and maybe save some money to buy some of this technology so that they can continue to do this work on their own. But again, I don't really know exactly where all the directions are going to go. One of my goals in doing this, I guess you would say, is to get more students involved in music. Already I'm looking at the roster of students signed up, and I see a bunch of names that I'm not familiar with. So that means kids that aren't in band, choir, orchestra. Another goal is to expand students' knowledge of music so it goes into this world of popular music. And you might assume that these kids know everything about popular music, but they don't. There's areas of popular music that they don't know. So hopefully they'll discover some new kinds of music they like. And then obviously, hopefully, discover some ways of on how they can make this music and technology and build the skills that they need. And hopefully there's kids, and I know there's a couple already that are in our current band program that will just expand their love of music, that will, you know, just spill over into hopefully their band instrument as well. But even if it doesn't, we'll just spill over into their love of making music. This class will be an after-school class, and it'll be a class that will be run through our community ed department. Our community ed is great because they promote everything. They run all the registration, and if there are kids that can't afford the cost of the class, they will offer scholarships for those kids, which is fantastic. And then this class will be taught by area Twin Cities musicians who have both experience in obviously beat making, production, songwriting, technology, but also have experience in teaching kids. So I'm super, super excited to have this class start, and I'm sure there'll be a follow-up here in future podcasts on how it's going. The second new idea that I'm trying that I'd like to share with you all today is an adaptive music ensemble. So one thing that I've really wanted to work on as a music educator the last few years is involving our students with special needs in our music program. And over the last couple of years, I feel like we've made some great steps. We've involved more students with special needs in our traditional band program. Kids are participating in the band along with all the other mainstream kids, and we just adapt the music they play and adapt sometimes the instruments they play and make it a great experience. And I know a lot of teachers who do this, and I think it's just fantastic. And I think there's some valuable information I could share today. I'm not going to have time to get into it. And I'm sure there's a lot of valuable information a lot of you music educators could share about how you do this, how you go about involving these students in your mainstream classrooms. Another thing that I've done that's been really great is we've had the flexibility in our schedule. And this has mainly been all of our special education department that's worked this out. I've done very little with this, so a big shout out to our special ed department, where the students, usually one at a time, sometimes two at a time, with a paraprofessional, will come up to the band room during one of our prep times, or if there's an ensemble meeting, they'll go into one of our small ensemble rooms. And the paras will help the kids just have an opportunity to play music. And they might play on a piano, they might play on a drum set, some percussion instruments, a guitar, whatever the para feels is best for that student, and the para feels comfortable with the student doing, they'll just give that student a chance once, twice a week to add some music into their day. And again, I do very little with that, just basically provide the instrument, provide the space, and let them go to it. So that's been wonderful. But what we're going to start this year is an adaptive music ensemble. And this will be a group that will be consisting of students with special needs, and will also be facilitated by one or two of our special ed teachers and myself. And we'll also involve some of our paraprofessionals helping out. And I'm also hoping to involve some of my mainstream students in also helping out and working with these kids with special needs, which will be fantastic because some of these mainstream students have such a big heart and a place for wanting to work with these kids and also are good musicians. So what a great opportunity for them as well. But what I'm hoping to do is during some of our flex time, what we call WIN time in our school, WIN stands for what I need, and we have three WIN times a week where students can come on up and get extra help in whatever class they want, or get just some extra opportunities in different areas of the school. So we haven't quite worked out the schedule, but maybe once a week or once every other week, we'll have these students with special needs come on up, and we're going to form an ensemble for them. And the basically our ensemble is going to be kind of like a rock band setting, where the kids will be learning guitar and drum set and bass guitar and singing and piano. And they'll be doing some very basic songs, like some basic 2-3 chord songs, simplified even at that, depending on the nature of the group of kids. And the hope is to have these kids rehearse and do a performance just like any other ensemble. Now, I'm actually working on a project right now with a good friend that teaches in Minneapolis, and we're trying to this is actually the idea of this friend of mine who developed this and who's developing this entirely new and wonderful curriculum on how to do an adaptive music ensemble. And so I'm not going to give away too many of the details right now, because that project is ongoing. And so, but down the road, I'm really excited to have that curriculum be presented by this good friend of mine. And I'm also really excited to be one of the first customers, I guess you would say, quote unquote, of this new style of doing adaptive music. But for right now, I would just say, as a music educator, I mean, there are so many ways you can go about forming an adaptive music ensemble. One thing I've also done in the past is a percussion circle or a drumming circle, and just done some world drummings, some African drumming, some like Latin American type rhythms and things like that. I've also done some basic guitar stuff with kids, just teaching them some real basic chords on the guitar. So there's so many ways you can go about teaching these kids with special needs and doing an adaptive music group where they're finding a lot of success. So another really great idea, I think. This next one is just a fun one that I've done this year, and it was just kind of a spur of the moment thought at the beginning of the school year that I've been able to do two or three times a week during my crazy schedule, and that's just performing out in the hallway. So once again, I'm such a big believer in getting music to every single kid in the school. I'm such a big believer in that music should be required, or at least the arts should be required for every kid. And our school district doesn't believe in that beyond fifth grade. I know many school districts don't believe in that beyond a certain grade level. They don't value the arts as highly as other subject areas. And that's just something I disagree on. I think every kid should be in the arts. When I look at the kids who are involved in the arts, I see great, kind, well-rounded, spectacular children. And I just don't understand why we don't want every kid to be that way, why we don't want every kid to have that level of understanding of what the arts can bring to you and how they develop you. So I'm going to bring the music to you, students that aren't in music. It's just my philosophy. Even if our school district doesn't believe that every kid should be in the arts, I'm going to bring the arts to you. So during passing time, I've just been going out in the hallway and doing some random performances. And I know that's just, you know, a kid hearing music for 10 seconds as they walk past me. But you know what? That's 10 seconds of them registering there's music in the world. There's music in my school. There's music. I just think that's so important. And so, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm a trombonist. Am I just taking my trombone out and playing some classical solo? Yeah, maybe once. But I actually haven't done that yet. I don't even think I've taken my trombone out yet these first 2 weeks. The first time I went out, I learned the song Save Your Tears by The Weeknd and Ariana Grande. If you don't know, it's a great current pop hit. And I took out my guitar, learned the words, and just sang it on a stool sitting in the hallway. And I did it in three different locations in the school over the course of a couple days. The next time I took out my DJ gear and I DJed out in the hallway. And this, you know, when I did it for the seventh and eighth graders, it was cool. You know, a lot of kids were bopping around and having fun. When I did it for the sixth graders, you guys, this was classic. I just found a spot in the sixth grade hallway, and literally there had to have been at least 50 kids at one point, like just gathered around me, most of them with their phones recording me and cheering. And it was like, I felt like I was at like a party. It was so cool. And just think about those kids who were just like, this is awesome. There's DJing going on in the hallway. Oh my goodness. I am so doing that again. This and so I did that at all, in all the hallways over the course of a couple days. And then the last time I went out over the last couple days, I grabbed a flute, I grabbed my MacBook, and pulled up the Jamie Ebersol backtrack for Duke Ellington's Satin Doll, and I just played Satin Doll and soloed out in the hallway, and didn't gather as much excitement as the DJing. But once again, in that sixth grade hallway, some kids had their phones out. They were clapping. They were dancing. not exactly dancing the way you probably should to Duke Ellington, but whatever. You know, they were totally soaking it all in. So these are just little simple things that are bringing music to everybody's day. And as I'm doing it, one of my hopes is actually that it's not me all the time, that maybe it's another teacher, or better yet, the students, some of the music students who are brave enough to go out into the hallway and do a song. And again, our passing times are 5 minutes. It's very short. I'm not interfering with anybody's class time. The teachers have gotten into it at times, too. I think when I was doing that DJing, I even had a couple teachers that were filming it as well. So just another fun idea to bring music to all. My last new idea was a brainstorm from just a few hours ago, and that's always dangerous to bring something up. By the way, I don't know about you, but my best thinking happens in one of two places. I'm a walker, so I take walks every day. Sometimes they're only like 20-minute walks, but sometimes they're 7-8-mile walks, and that's where my creative thinking happens. The other place is in the shower. It literally is. Those are where my best ideas come to me. So if you don't have a place where your best ideas come to, I would suggest finding that place, wherever it is. And if you don't know where to start, start with walks and showers and see if maybe that's your thinking place too. I've actually ran into a number of people who agree with me on one or both of those places. So anyway, I hesitate bringing this up because it's kind of brand new, but I was thinking about a couple of my students from last year. Actually, they're still my students now too, but we have these things called WIN ensembles. Again, I told you WIN stands for what I need, but our WIN ensembles are kids that choose to come up once a week to our band room, and they form their own ensembles. And they're just think like chamber groups, but not usually traditional chamber groups. A couple of them are, you know, like a brass quintet or a flute quartet, but a lot of them are weird instrumentation, and a lot of them are playing songs that I write for them. So like, for example, I have a group that already has told me they want to do Take On Me by A-ha with their group that consists of a piano player, a ukulele player, a singer, and a clarinet player. So that's how we're going to do Take On Me. So anyway, I had this group last year that consisted of a clarinet and a trumpet player, but the other people they wanted to be in a group with weren't in band and didn't play an instrument or didn't sing. And so I kind of, well, we all just kind of dismissed it. We had a couple of weird ideas, but those weird ideas resurfaced just recently, like I said, just in the matter of the last 24 hours. And it was these two students that I'm talking of that play clarinet and trumpet are just absolutely fantastic kids. They're good musicians. They're super nice people. And they're so creative and so happy and excited about life. And they have so much to give. And I was thinking, you know, these other kids that they're friends with that aren't in the music program, they're also really good kids from what I know about them. I don't know them nearly as well, but I know a couple of them are really good dancers. I know they must have other skills and talents and creative outputs. And I'm like, what if we made a chamber ensemble or a wind ensemble, as we call them, and we found a way to have a couple of these girls dance, and a couple of these girls, like my couple students, play, and maybe we implement some other elements of art. You know, maybe there's some visual art involved. Maybe there's some technology, some beat making. Like I said in my first segment of the podcast today, where we're making a track so that maybe it's some kind of like pop song or dance or EDM song that you add elements of clarinet and trumpet into, and dance and visual arts and lights. And so I'm just thinking again about a way that we can get these kids involved in the music program that aren't, but that would love maybe some cool creative output like that. So that's where I'm at right now on that. I don't know where it's going to go. I'll keep you updated. But again, it's getting creative. It's thinking of ways to get these kids involved in music. And it actually, just one more thing, it kind of reminds me of a few years back. So we have a mariachi band in our school district for middle schoolers. And there was one year, this was maybe about 4 or 5 years ago now. Again, I had one or two students, again, just outstanding kids who had a bunch of friends that weren't in the music program. And these one or two kids convinced all these friends of theirs to join the mariachi band. And it was awesome. So we had this mariachi band of about, I don't know, there's probably about 12 kids in there. And about seven of them were these kids that weren't in our music program that were convinced by this friend or two that were in the music program to come play guitar and to come sing and be in our mariachi band. And we had an absolute blast that year. So you never know. You never know what's going to happen when you come up with some creative idea, how that's going to connect with kids and become just this great new thing that you've stumbled upon to bring music and joy into the lives of students. Well, once again, I laugh somewhat at the irony of all of this, a week after talking about being overwhelmed, talking about new ideas. But hey, as teachers, that's what we need to do. We need to come up with new ideas. We need to evaluate what we've done in the past. I've said no to a lot of things this year, a lot of things. So yes, I'm adding some things, but I've also said no to a lot of things. And I think it's important, again, as teachers, to evaluate what we've done in the past. Maybe what's not working, maybe things that are working, but there's just other things that we need to do that are of higher importance at this time. And sometimes that means saying no to good things. Sometimes budget cuts means we just can't keep doing things. And if they're not going to give us the funding and the staffing, well, then we just can't do this stuff anymore. So that's just the way it is. So support your schools, and value things that matter. The arts matter, people. They really do. And so I'm frustrated over that the arts aren't valued as much as they should be in our world. But anyway, these are some new ideas, and hopefully you have some ideas, or maybe these are some ideas you can take and run with. Thank you so much for joining me on Second Floor Therapy. As always, you can comment on Twitter at Eric Songer, ericsonger, or you can email me, eric@songerstudio.com. Hey, everybody, have a great week. Keep shining your light on the world, and we'll see you next week on Second Floor Therapy.